Thank you for joining us for IEB There. And now your host, Brad Behrens. Over to you, Brad.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to IEB There, our daily live stream show where we keep the digital media industry informed and connected. I'm your host, IAB's editor-in-chief, Brad Behrens. On today's show, I'm turning over the interviewing duties to Eric John, Senior Director of IAB's Video Center of Excellence. Eric is going to be in conversation with Tal Holozin, who is the CTO and co-founder of Innovid. Eric, Tal, I'll get out of your way. Welcome to IAB There, and I'm looking forward to watching a robust conversation.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Welcome, everybody. So as Brad said, the goal of IAB There is to keep us all connected. The other key goal is to offer perspectives, in particular on the current state of advertising, and importantly, what's playing out amidst the COVID-19 crisis. Today, Tal and I are going to be talking about the trends and how consumers are engaging with content and advertising across screens at a time when so many of us are sheltering at home. We'll talk about how brands and buyers are responding, how it's impacting planning, and we'll also talk about how companies are working to help their employees, how members are helping one another, and we'll take some questions at the end that have been submitted previously by our members. As Brad said, I'm Eric John. I head up IAB's Video Center of Excellence. Our mission is to provide best practices, guidance, standards, and education for brands, buyers, and media companies to adapt to change, in this case, to survive and thrive through the convergence of television and digital video. We're recording this on Thursday, March 26th. And as we all know, the world has been forever changed since the arrival of the pandemic. Ours is a history that's been born of collaboration. So it's a great pleasure to have with me today a true friend of the industry, CTO and co-founder of Innovid, Tal Holozin, who's connecting to us from his apartment in Lower Manhattan. Tal, how you doing there? You there?
My instinct is to say very well, but this is a little weird to start a call like that. But yeah, it is under the circumstances, very well. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
That's status quo is actually not too bad. When you and I spoke last, it was Friday last week, Governor Cuomo had announced that noon that he was mandating 100% of non-essential workers in the state stay home. You were headed to the grocery. I was too. Thankfully, there was food on the shelves, though no paper products. I just want to ask you at a human level, what are you seeing there in your neighborhood at Chinatown? What's the vibe there in your neighborhood?
So it's a little weird. We live smack in the middle between two grocery stores. Mm-hmm. One, if you walk two blocks up, you're in Whole Foods that has massive queue, very little things on the shelves, and a big craze outside of people trying to get in. And I actually do my shopping two blocks down in Hong Kong supermarket on Elizabeth Street. And funny enough, it's a little weird to say, but there's not a single thing that is not in there. All the shelves are fully stocked, and it looked like business as usual, aside from the thing that is not a single person without a mask, gloves, and covered head to toe.
Yeah.
But I vote for the Hong Kong supermarket.
So yeah, if you're in Manhattan, take that as a note.
Not so, everyone at once, because we still like it. There's not a lot of people there.
With everyone working from home, we're all juggling conference calls. We've got housemates popping in and out. Some of us, Tal, like you've got little ones at home. Others are homeschooling. It feels like it started out as a bolt of adrenaline, and now it feels more like a marathon. You know, here at IAB, we're doing our best to keep everyone connected. We've got early standing meetings in the morning and then Fridays, virtual happy hours. How's the team at Innovid coping? What are you guys doing there to stay in sync? What's in the toolkit for you?
Clearly, there's a lot of collaboration. The biggest thing at this time around is not to feel alone more than anything else, as everyone is in hers or his apartment. So like everyone else, I assume we do a lot of Zoom meetings all the time. There's a lot of recreational Zoom, anything from Thursdays and wine tasting on Fridays and other stuff, yoga classes. But also we have our Innovid family meeting where we get everyone at Innovid on a call. We actually just had a call like that earlier today, where Zvika, our CEO, is kind of sharing the state of the company and state of the union and everything else and asking questions. So we're just trying to stay as connected as possible throughout the time.
Yeah. So let's shift over to kind of the business space. And if you could tell us Innovid's role in the overall digital ad space. What's your business? And, you know, the reason I called you on my speed dial, you know, when we first started launching IAB there, is because I think you have a perspective, especially given the fact that you are in the ad serving business, into what consumers are doing. So what have you seen just in, you know, the past couple of weeks?
Sure. So yeah, I'll take a second just to explain. I hope that everyone on the call know what Innovid is, but I'm going to make a second just to explain where is all the data that I'm going to share is coming from. So we act as a video ad server for a lot of brands in many countries, specifically in the United States, with a very large market share. And most important, specifically for this time and this data, we're not skewed in any specific media type or any specific brand vertical or sector. It's clear there's some sectors, I'm sure I'm not telling anything new to anyone here, but there's some sectors that are seeing a harder time right now, like travel, luxury retail, and out of home entertainment, and many others. And there's some that are they're actually thriving. Part of what we see is because we serve such a massive market share in the United States and not skewed by anything, the numbers are somewhat evening out and talking about an industry. All of our numbers is coming from Innovid Act as an ad server, what we like to call it as the zero layer, meaning that regardless if the media is bought programmatic, if it bought on an upfront, on a spot buy, on any publisher direct or outstream, it doesn't matter. As long as there is a video there, we're serving the video and collecting the data, which allows us to get kind of a bird eye view on everything. So that's just at a very, very high level. The main thing I would say, and we get this question quite a lot, I get to talk to several reporters and analysts, and we get a lot of clients and partners, and even us ourselves are trying to figure out, no one really knows. It's fairly early in time, specifically in ad spending. We're kind of in the tail end of March, and a lot of the campaigns and a lot of the new media that will come into Q2, this is when we're gonna start see a shift. However, there's already a shift that is happening for a couple of reasons. Clearly, the work from home is making a big impact. I'm going to talk about it in a second. Another thing is just the shift in media types, less sports or less live sports, at least. And others is making a shift in the content consumption. What are the things that we're seeing? Couple of just fun tidbits. And by the way, I'm sharing a lot of numbers. I know it's a little hard to get. We're working to compile all this stuff, and you can register on Innovid and get all this data. We're going to do another webinar or something to share more, but hopefully it's going to be good. So the one thing, something interesting is just in terms of PC viewership, something that we've noticed is something that I call it flattening the week. So normally we see a big drop in PC video ads viewership during from Friday into Saturday and Sunday, and then uptick back on Monday. So normally this is kind of a rule of thumb, is a roughly 25% drop from Friday into Saturday. And we've seen that flattening pretty much. And literally just looking at the weeks after March 9th, and even more on the week of March 16th, which a lot of people started working from home. So we've seen that number move from 25% drop from Friday to Saturday into 17%. So it is a pretty steep decline. And again, we're just getting started with all of that. Another interesting data point, just in terms of device composition. Maybe I'm going to start with one thing is that, and this is very early to actually talk about this stuff, but we have seen an increase month over month. If you just take what we did is look at the last 2 weeks right now. So what is it? Let's call it March 10th to March 24th. Mm-hmm. So the last those 14 days, and look at exactly the time period in February to do a month over month comparison. So first of all, we've seen the overall viewership or ad exposure is up something like 15%. And I must just a disclaimer here is that this is a usual thing that we see. March is normally better than February, so we should normalize. It's still up even when you normalize it, but it's not as much. And again, this is a big climb on a month over month basis. But something interesting that we have seen is just a device split on that. So we've seen CTV up. Both in share and so share based on devices. Maybe I'll take a quick pause just to explain how do we divide it. Every ad impression we deliver, we
and
try
define
to
CTV too, because there's always a terminology. Yeah.
And by the way, I'm very sorry for a very long answer, and it's so hard not
to
hear.
I'm going to break in a second, so we are going to go
Please
to another.
Do. Please
but the,
do.
But the
there's
device,
no need to be polite.
Breakout, yeah, the device breakout is super important. Yeah. CTV, connected TV. How does Innovid define that?
Yeah. So we first of all, we categorize every impression that we serve into one of three, PC, which is, and I'm, when I'm saying PC, it's PC or a Mac or on a laptop or a desktop, it doesn't matter. It's a, let's call it a stationary device, or actually not stationary, but a browser-based device. The second one would be mobile and tablet as a category. And the third one would be connected television. How do we define connected television? Is ads that are rendered on a connected on a big screen TV, either through an app on that TV, for example, an app on a Samsung connected TV or Vizio or Roku, or an ad on a device that is connected to that television. That device could be a Roku, an Amazon Fire, an Xbox, PlayStation, including Chromecast. All of those are categorized as connected television traffic.
Great.
We have seen an increase in connected television, both in share. So there is a shift, a little decline on desktop and move into connected television and mobile. So we have seen something like 16% growth in daily average on connected television. But actually a very, very interesting number that we haven't seen in a long time is we've seen an increase of 29% of mobile.
Incredible.
29%,
yeah.
And this is on a daily average, taking again the last 14 days, the last trailing 14 days and the same time period in February.
So what do you attribute the mobile to? Because obviously people aren't out and about commuting, et cetera.
Yeah.
What's happening?
It's mobile just as a small screen. It's not mobile in a sense that it's you're mobilizing it outside of the home.
Yeah,
and maybe the one interesting thing that we have looked as, and clearly there's a lot of content could be viewed on mobile, but something specific that we have seen is the increase in social network video. And under social network, we include, it's kind of a loose term, social network is Twitter video ads, Snapchat video ads, Facebook video ads, and YouTube video ads across all of the different properties and YouTube partners, Zephyr or Vivo or others. So all of that, we call that some type of a social platform, which generally is skewed into mobile. This category is increased in that same time period in 27%.
So that's incredible, because it kind of points to me, you know, I just in my household, obviously social is becoming increasingly a source of news. We're on Twitter nonstop. But obviously social is also serving as a connective tissue for everybody, you know, at home. I think the interesting question, let me see if you have thoughts on this. Everybody's curious. There's an ongoing debate about the growth of CTV, SVOD, you know, subscription-based a la Netflix versus ad-supported AVOD. What's your sense there? If you're seeing that increase in AVOD, you know, do you have any sense of what the breakout of viewership? And then we'll talk about some other content forms as well.
Yeah. So general, this is not, I'm going to zoom out from the last 10 days or the last month and say overall CTV is clearly the winner of streaming video overall. I did mention right now mobile and social, but if you zoom out and look at the last 18 months or the last 24 months, there is almost an exodus of away from PC-based viewership, or again, laptop, desktop, PC or Mac, into the connected TV space. Mobile, in terms of share, is kind of standing still, and a lot of the viewership is going into the connected television space. I can tell you about Innovid numbers. We're coming on roughly 40% of overall traffic that we see in the United States in a given month is going into the connected television already. And we believe that very soon we're going to cross the 50%. And this is including a lot of media, not skewed into almost anything. Not a vertical, not a...
Yeah. Let's talk about ad spend overall, because I think that there's, you know, obviously a ton of agencies, brands have put the brakes on spend. We now have a lot of sports programming that is on hold. Event-based programming is on hold. Is your sense that TV ad spend and the spend that is flowing through, you know, onto OTT and connected TV, has that been relatively insulated versus, you know, interestingly, the growth in social video also interesting. But what's your sense of budgets?
So again, everything that I'm going to say is kind of based on anecdotes or some type of directional understanding. Don't take anything that I'm saying as we're the platform that delivers all of this stuff. We clearly have a very good understanding of what's going on, but it needs to happen first for it to say. And by the way, again, another interesting thing, we're going to keep sharing this data over time because we think that a lot of people wants and should know what's going on. In terms of what we've seen, I did mention that right now we're in the tail end of March and a lot of what we are traffic that we're seeing right now is planned way advanced in the year without any virus or anything in mind. So it's still a little early to see. We already got a handful of marketers reaching out to, with changes for campaigns. And there's maybe two main drivers. One is the sports and Olympics as one category. A lot of marketers that were big NCAA sponsors, PGA tours or other things are moving, trying to shift dollars to something else. And the second one is clearly just sectors that have been hit more and wanna be cautious. Yeah. I can say that I'm asking, everyone at Innovid are asking a lot of our partners, both marketers, agencies, executives, media companies, just asking, what do you see? I'm sure right now it's a lot about data sharing. The general theme that we hear right now is clearly no one knows what's going to happen. So the general theme is cash is king. Is save on what you have because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. And so I assume that this is the main driver behind so many things here is prepare for some type of a downturn. How long would it be? How deep would it be? A V-shape, a U-shape, or other form of recession? No one knows. Yeah. But because we're right at the beginning, we are catching that. I'll say something very specific that we are seeing because, again, as Innovid, we have big exposure to that, is the creative piece on that. Maybe the first thing that happened, both on sports and now we actually starting to see that at a larger scale, is creative swaps. So immediately, literally the second that there were announcements by the NCAA and others, campaigns that were slated to go live, or some of them were already live, that have March Madness creative in it, the first thing that happened is that people asked to swap it to a different creative, either to a different brand in their portfolio, to a different campaign, or to something else. This is clearly easier to do, and that's kind of again the power of digital media and the power of a centralized ad server is that you can just do that swap in one place and then it propagates everywhere. So that's maybe the immediate thing that happened before anything else.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to see, just to complete this point, I'm sorry. I get too excited about this, I'm sorry. So ed serving is a very, very exciting topic.
Finish up. I want to pivot to the larger question of how brands are responding.
So the second topic, just on that, I'm sorry, is what we start to see is just messaging shift. Is a lot of people want to stay relevant or not, or want to continue advertising, but clearly you need to be cautious to the environment and cautious to the statement that people are saying. So we are getting a lot of requests for creative messaging swaps, which is very different again than cutting budget or things like that.
Yeah, just interesting to see out in the landscape. I'm of course always looking at advertising, but you know, despite the higher media consumption that we're all seeing, how many brands have pulled back from what is actually a huge audience opportunity. And the you know, the unfortunate reality of a lot of buying for contextual reasons, brands shying away from appearing next to any mention of COVID-19, that is going to be a hard thing to do in media overall. But it's interesting to see, you know, I noticed one brand, I would almost call it a conquesting strategy. Verizon has been in nearly every news, you know, video news program I've seen talking about and positioning their network as the means for communities and families to stay connected. They've got their employees talking about their, almost the mission of making sure their network stays whole. To me, that's such an interesting example. And obviously that creative didn't exist, you know, a week and a half.
Exactly, back to my point about rapid messaging change. It's not about the cut. So you asked a bunch of things in there. First of all, consumption habits. So the numbers that we see are ad spend. When we serve an ad into Hulu, we don't know how many, what's the stream, what the increase in streams, we know what's the increase in ad load. So we see only the ad part of it. By conversation with a lot of different partners, clearly streaming overall, both audio and video are currently the winning sectors of advertising. Or winning sectors of media, as that the more and more people are have seen an increase in consumption. Time will tell what's going to happen to media. I feel like there's two different school of thoughts into ad spending. General theme: the ad market always behaved like GDP. GDP goes down, ad spending goes down. This is, it's been around forever. However, in this case, like any other event, some sectors are impacted more than other, some sectors of media impacted more. Clearly out of home, sports marketing, event sponsorship are ones that are getting a hit massively. For many reasons, but for the sole reason, or for one important reason, is that eyeballs are not there. There are people not on the street. Here comes a streaming media, where streaming video and streaming audio, this is where the eyeballs are. So we don't expect those segments to be, clearly there will be a hit because people will temper spend, but we're not gonna be hit. It's not gonna be proportionate to GDP drop. That's one thing. But
verticals, because I think that's what a lot of curiosity is. You know, what's the, obviously with all the consumption underway, some brands have obviously travel has been cut massively. But there are some tailwinds for some advertisers. CPG, for instance, everyone is shopping for home cleaning supplies. What else are you seeing?
So again, it's a little early to say, but there's some verticals that. That it's obvious gonna be impacted. Travel, automotive is another one that is somewhat of a question mark with a big difference between a tier two and a tier one auto. But generally as a category, and look at it as comparable to 2008, another event is that automotive is getting a big hit on sales, and hence marketing follows. On the positive side, e-commerce based retail is up on everything that we see. Verizon, telcos, you mentioned Verizon, but we have seen a lot of a lot of movement on the telco side. Granted, one thing, a lot of them are big sports partners. So there's a lot of shift right now because of the sports. But in general, the telcos, again, Sprint, T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon, are all, we are seeing some form of an increase. CPG, it's a little early. Again, all of the numbers that I'm sharing is more based on anecdotes than a hard data line, because it's too early to see. But CPG is one that that is actually seems like is going to be fairly proof to everything we're seeing right now. Fairly easy cutoff. Things that are more discretionary spending, things that are, require you to be out of home, like theatrical, maybe the best example for that, theatrical advertising. It's just down for the sole reason that there's theaters are off and releases are shut down. So,
so there's one trend that I've it kind of makes sense. So many, as I've been talking to our publishers who are also in the film production space, those productions are on hold. And so what has what seems to be happening is that the slates that were bound for in theater are being moved over to the streaming platforms. And so we've talked about AVOD and SVOD, but TVOD, the transactional video on demand space, stands to increase, especially now that those releases will be happening online.
Yeah, I would say again, all go back to streaming media will go up. Now streaming media, there's three main ways to, three main business models for streaming television, subscription-based, advertising-based, aka SVOD or AVOD, or transaction-based TVOD. All three of them, this is just speculation, but all three of them will rise. Our gut feeling, clearly a little biased, but our gut feeling is that ad-supported VOD will take, will capture more share during that time. Again, it's kind of obvious, economies and in an unknown, unknown is a very positive way of looking at it, but in a, on a downward trend right now, and ad-supported is just phenomenal offering. You get amazing type of content subsidized by ads. It was always a phenomenal offering. Just a quick shout out. One thing that we all are very, a lot of the streaming wars and the Flixes that were announced recently were all subscription-based, pure subscription-based, aka no hybrid model. HBO Max, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, and Netflix, of course. But we're all very, very much looking forward for Peacock to announce to launch. April 15 is the date, and as we know, is not going to move. And April 15, it's Peacock is launching only for Xfinity subscribers, but in July 15th, it's going to be open for the public. And Peacock is maybe the first one that is, aside from Hulu and the existing ones, but the one that is super premium that have ad-supported options. So this is a great opportunity for marketers to, again, to play that trend to move to connected television.
Yep. Let's stay on NBCU for a second, because I think it's, you know, now that literally Sunday night, I think the Olympic International Committee agreed to postpone the 2020 to 2021. There's obviously, you know, $1 billion of ad spend that NBCU was managing. That event was going to be especially interesting, especially from a buying model perspective. This was going to be where convergence and cross-platform were really impacting the opportunity for brands of multiple stripes to get in on the opportunity to buy audience-based, and to basically to leverage a single currency, CPM, you know, a single currency against all that inventory. So, and the fact that NBC was opening up to a new mix of advertisers, we've talked a lot about at here at IAB about emerging brands, et cetera. What's your sense? Is the audience-based brand opportunity beginning to play out, you know, in marketplaces in general? What's the impact on, or what do you see the future of the upfronts now that increasingly, is this going to be a driver of change towards audience-based buying?
Yeah, this is clearly a very big discussion topic. Everyone's asking what's going to be on the upfront and the new fronts. I guess this is another thing that you can update all as well. But one thing we have heard a lot. It's hard for me to speak about NBC and the Olympics. I don't work for NBC, nor is deep in the weeds. A couple of things that we are hearing is clearly sports is down. Many advertisers care wholeheartedly for that audience. The increase that in demand that people are asking for is data segments for sports watchers. And you can say the same thing about the Olympics as well, is that if consumption is up, so those audience segments are watching something else. So it doesn't mean that we're getting into a place like the early days of cord cutting or early days of SVOD, where people say that we're shrinking the pie and it's very hard. We have more people that are unreachable. So you're just going to be unreachable via sports, but there are ways, clearly younger demos of sports fan, specifically heavy males are heavy on games, and Twitch is getting a big spike on that, or YouTube or other gaming platforms. But overall, I can say that the data segment, this is in my just conversation in the last week or so, I heard that so many times, is that linear ratings are down. Again, numbers are public out there. Any of the networks, linear network broadcasting sports are down, leading by ESPN, but that's true for everyone. It doesn't mean that people don't watch television. They do watch it, but they watch something else. Sports used to be amazing in gathering so many different people in a live event, but now the move to, as you said, audience-based buying is key to in order to understand where to buy that. There's no this kind of water cool moment that everyone's going to be there you can just advertise and buy to be part of the conversation. So audience buying is really big, but also programmatic overall is big. Another number I didn't share, but we have looked at growth in programmatic, and this is just it's only directional, what we looked at is just in the same 2 weeks, last 2 weeks versus 2 weeks the past month, we've seen, because the whole market is moving, what we wanted to see is in terms of share, programmatic versus non-programmatic, we have seen 5% increase in programmatic. So there is even more movement. Again, if you think about it, marketers that want to change budget and move things around, this is maybe one of the easiest things that that you can do. And I'm using the term programmatic in a loose term. It doesn't mean that it's...
Yeah, for people in the audience, it's programmatic. There's a perception, you know, with display that it is open exchange. That is correct. Not what we're talking about here.
It's not what we're talking about. Maybe that's actually a very important thing. Is that programmatic? My definition is the use of data and automation in order to transact on media. So it doesn't mean that it's real time bid or transacted in an open exchange, but it means that you do. Have some type of data segments in order to buy that media, and you use some type of an automated fashion to buy that private marketplace or any other programmatic guaranteed or other type of forms that you can access that media. We are seeing an increase there, which historically, specifically in the world of connected television has been under indexed on programmatic so far compared to any other media sectors. Because it's very early and because it's very controlled by very, very premium TV networks that had a supply constraint, not demand constraint. Yeah. But this may change.
Yeah. So I just want to be mindful of time. So we're over our half hour.
Time flies when you're having fun.
A few more minutes. I know, we could continue for into the evening, but just to be mindful.
I'll be here all weekend.
Right. Just keep that Zoom live. We mentioned esports a little bit. So this is fascinating to me because, this is competitive gaming viewed, participated in. There's no social gathering required. What's so interesting is, you know, with so much live sports venue based on hold, you've got all the esports, players in the space making continuing to create events. Even the NBA, the Phoenix Suns, are going to be playing the remainder of their games using NBA 2K, which is a virtual environment. That to me is such an interesting inflection point, perhaps, you know, in how, you know, that's going to inform content viewing, sports viewing. Is Innovid participating in any of that? And then of course the real question that a lot of people are asking, betting might actually end up being another driver of that space. But what's your sense on the ad opportunity within esports?
Yeah, so first of all, we participate because brands, marketers and agencies are buying media into that space. But I wanna just touch on one point, which I think as a fan of esports, I must say that calling it non-social would be—
That is totally wrong.
Would be a little off. Just look at the Overwatch League on YouTube, for example, and see the amount of comments that people are saying live. Right. So many people are tuning in live to watch that, and the amount of comment and chatter that is happening on that. The same thing on, again, League of Legends or many other things. It's an extremely social. It's maybe a different form, but. You can argue actually it's in a larger magnitude because everyone is all connected on a massive chat box. Yeah. So it's or Twitch for that matter. So it's very hard to call it not social. And many of, again, YouTube, the Overwatch League, for example, is ad supported. So that's we're definitely playing there.
Yeah. I wanted to finish up here talking about how companies are responding to the COVID crisis. You know, I've seen interesting examples of brands, Nike and Gap, are pivoting to make masks for healthcare workers, et cetera. I was reading about an example of, it's advertising, we're not saving lives, but I'm thinking of the example where I called you to help out with the PSA that we wanted to make interactive, right?
We should do more of that.
We need to do more of that. There's an effort underway with IAB members at Mobi, SpotX, Universal, McCann, and IAS. They're all partnering to get the word out, Truex as well, on safe hand hygiene. So, I think that it's almost a call to action. If you are in this business of connecting brands with consumers, there's a lot of power here, and our industry is born of creativity. So a little call to action for everyone to think about how your company, how your employees can help make it easier. Obviously the healthcare workers are the ones in the front lines saving everyone's butts. But what are you seeing out there, kind of in interesting examples?
I don't know specific examples, but I can definitely, just to echo everything you just said, we always looked at, advertising at the end of the day, it's a tremendous megaphone that allows you to speak a message to the masses. But specifically, digital video streaming has the ability to personalize that message, but also create some form of a call to action, like what we did again with the anti-gun violence in the past, and other PSAs that we work with in the past, is the ability for you to press a button on your remote to show that you are raising your hand to support that cause or doing something to watch more content. So we actually did already get— it takes time for things to actually build. Something we touched a very little on it, Eric, in this call, but just the creative production side. So in order to do all those adaptation, programmatic media allow you to do adaptation to media buying very quickly, but creative production is still something that has its cycle and it takes time to do. We're in kind of early innings of that, and hence we haven't seen too many of those, but we already got quite a lot of requests, and we're talking to many advertisers about how do you leverage interactive video and how do you leverage long form content to watch more explainer videos or other things. Again, people are watching— a couple of very important points. People are watching streaming video more than ever across so many of those devices. They're home and they're watching it on an interacting enabled device, a PC, a phone, or a connected TV. All of those devices are not lean back or all lean forward. So there is a big opportunity to do all those things.
Yeah. Let's go to a couple of questions. We got a great question here from Ipsada from Mondelez. She's saying, we were just talking about this a little bit. Do you see a shift in messaging and branding due to COVID-19?
100%.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, again, all of those things, and this is maybe back to what you said about call to action for an opportunity. We clearly, shameless plug, we play heavily in that, but just even beyond innovate to anyone in this space, creative production and creative messaging adaptation is just time-consuming task. There is and there will be a lot of requirement to do it faster at larger scale, customization, and you know, like the whole idea of agile marketing, like the Oreo dunk in the night. Funny that this is coming from Mondelez, but the same thing is happening now. You know, adapting to a new world and a new situation. And it applies to almost every vertical, and every brand has something to say that is related to the situation. Not, it goes beyond the virus.
Yeah. I also want to mention, you know, we talked a little bit about the upfront market. You know, every company out there, media company, brand is pivoting to doing business, you know, with streaming and virtual. IAB's new fronts, which is the marketplace for, you know, multiple platform content and innovation, that is being also reconfigured. And our plan is to move that to the week of May 4th. Programming, as we're designing it right now, would last 3 to 5 hours a day, beginning at 12 noon and running through the afternoon. IAB would be hosting it. And here again, the good opportunity would be to leverage the interactivity that platforms allow. And then publishers as well as brands would have the opportunity to reach out to who would have been that same audience that would have been, and perhaps even larger audience.
Yeah, probably a lot larger. Again, yeah. This is what
opportunity actually. So I just want to say also, you know, I heard a quote. I'm always looking for inspirational quotes. I was struck by this one. You know, the best run companies, just in terms of how everyone's responding to COVID-19, the best run companies will emerge stronger, more efficient on the other side of this. Those that make changes in terms of their communication processes, diversifying their supply chains and revenue generation stand to be stronger at the end. So I take that as a real 100%. Opportunity for all of us. Tal, I want to thank you. You're immense. You're the guy I go to for, you know, what's happening in the landscape. I want to thank everybody for dialing in to IAB There. And I want to make a mention of what's happening just coming up tomorrow. Tal, you and I were discussing kind of the trends at a vertical and brand and buyer level. IAB has been researching our you know, audience and buyer membership. And tomorrow, Sue Hogan, who heads up our research, will be sharing stats and insights from that research. So be sure to tune at 2 o'clock, again, 2 o'clock Eastern, to IAB There, right on IAB.com, and you'll hear the latest from that study. I also want to-
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I wanted to, I have a very quick plug as well. Just, we have, we shared here, just being cautious, we shared so much numbers here on this call, and there's a lot more, and we keep on tracking that, and clearly changes by the day, obviously. So feel free to just tweet at me or at Innovid, so at Chalozin or at Innovid, or go to Innovid. We're gonna share more data, or if you want any of this stuff, please let us know. We're gonna have a webinar next week where we're gonna share all of this data, charts and slides and a lot of other things.
Great. And then one last mention for IAB. Today, earlier today, we had nearly 1,000 people connecting to our Tech Lab Project Rearch webinar. And that is an industry-wide effort to harmonize personalization and privacy, especially with the oncoming, you know, demise of the cookie. We're going to be having another one of those webinars Tuesday, March 31st at noon Eastern. So please, everyone, go to IAB.com and get registered for that, and how we all need to plan for that cookieless future. Thanks again, Tal. And I just want to say too, this IAB There has been a production of Interactive Advertising Bureau. Our show today was produced by Connor Healy, Joe Ounce, and John Ward. I'm Eric John, signing off for today. Thanks, everybody, for watching.
Thank you, IAB. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Connor. Thanks, John. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.